stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
Hi everyone, still chipping away at the voicemails. Firstly, got a little bit of love for Jonah. You'll have heard the kids helping me out a bit with the podcast recently because we're all obviously in together on lockdown. These two go back to Jonah's review of the Old School Essentials referee screen. I can't remember what number it is, but if you haven't heard that, do go back and have a listen. He did a great job.
Just listen to Jonah's amazing and extremely enthusiastic review of the OSE Game Master screen, Dungeon Master screen, and oh my god, I was just smiling ear to ear the entire time. That was, what a great review. I need to get one of these. I don't even use a DM screen, but it sounds beautiful. Need to own. Thank you for the excellent review, Jonah. Have a good one, guys. Oh, it's a Lonely Adventure, by the way. Get it with Albert. Hey.
Hi, Jonah, this is Cody, and I just got done listening to your review, and my God, you were super enthusiastic. That was a great review, and yeah, I'm looking forward. You know, I think I'm going to go ahead and buy the product based on your review, so good job there. If you see Gavin, you can let him know you made a sale, and you get the commission from that sale, and yeah, you can go out and buy yourself some books or something, I don't know. Anyway, good job, keep it up, and I hope you get to do more reviews soon. Later.
Yeah, thanks Lonely Adventurer and Cody. I haven't seen my cut yet from Gavin Norman from Necrotic Gnome, but I'm sure it's on its way. Next few calls refer to the episode I did on homeschooling. I might follow those up with a little homeschool update.
I loved the positive energy in this podcast. I love that you and Claire have embraced the homeschooling and that the kids are just thriving on it. This is fantastic. I absolutely love it. My girlfriend Anita is the same way. She has to work from home and then, oh, I'm sorry about that. She has to work from home and she's doing homeschooling and they set up an area to do it and they go out on recess and play and it's just absolutely fantastic. Good on you guys. Stay well. Whisk out.
Hey, Dave, it's Cody. Quick question, man. How can I get in on the Latin lessons? I would learn to love Latin, and I think I would love to learn it even more if it was coming from you. So, anyway, let me know. Thanks.
Hi, Dave, it's Edwin. I've just listened to your episode on homeschooling. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. It sounds like you're having a whale of a time. And it sounds as if the kids are too, so that's a win-win-win. I was thinking about your deliveries. I'm a bit miffed that you're getting messages from sellers on A-Books and Amazon saying that they won't deliver till April. You may know, I don't know if you do. I sell books through Amazon and A-Books and Bibliol. And if you can't deliver until then, you should take your listings offline. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to. I'm managing to... Well, there are reasons. Yes, there are obviously very good reasons why people can't deliver. But my point is they should withdraw the listings if they're no longer open for business. Don't be fobbed off. There are many, many sellers out there who can fulfil their obligations. The Cambridge Latin course, is that the one with Dave the Slave? I have a feeling I knew somebody who was involved in the writing of it. He used to teach Latin in Cambridge, Hills Road, I think. But nevertheless. Your other delivery, whiskey, I remember that you drink the, that you have drunk the,
Yeah, so thanks, Whisk, Cody, and Edwin. Edwin, there was a third part of Edwin's. Sounds like I cut him off there, but I didn't play it because it was a tip off on Whiskey Home Deliveries, which I very much appreciate, but I don't feel that I need to advertise that company on my podcast. I'll do homeschool in a minute. Yeah, Edwin, I when I recorded that, I was a bit more worried about general economic collapse than I am now. Certainly, my Amazon things have been coming a lot more quickly than they've suggested they would arrive. There was a while when I think Amazon just weren't promising they would get anything to you anytime soon. Obviously, they hadn't decided how they were doing their working arrangements, but things are coming through. Yeah, 8 books let me down a couple of times, and I've just accepted that maybe during the present situation, I can't consider that to be as reliable as I normally do. I take your point exactly. Yeah, of course there are reasons why people wouldn't be able to send things, but they ought to. Yeah, they ought not to list them. I don't think I'm out of pocket. I don't think I've been charged for anything that I haven't received. But yeah, in general, that all hasn't turned out to be as bad as I thought it was going to be. So Amazon, in fact, got in a new batch of Cambridge Latin Course, so I didn't have to go. I only had one copy of that. So all the kids have got a copy now, and I didn't need the copies I got from A Books in the end. The Cambridge Latin Course is not the one with Dave the Slave. No, there's a slave in it called Clemens, and then there's a rascally cook called Grumio, I have to say. So I didn't learn with the Cambridge Latin Course. I learned with a book called A New Approach to Latin, which even at the time when I was learning in the 90s, we laughed about because it was a 1970s course. They're much better books, but it was much harder, as you can imagine, to get hold of. That's out of print, I think. It's much harder to get hold of a family set of those. But they were more of the old-fashioned approach, which I'm actually using to teach the kids. So I like me grammar tables. So they're learning their conjugations and their declensions from the start. Cambridge Latin Course doesn't do it that way. Cambridge Latin Course sort of drip feeds the grammar, so you never get all of a noun, all of one of the declensions at once, and you never get all of your all of your persons of the verb at once. It's very confusing. So what I'm doing for them is that we're doing the grammar as we go. I'm supplementing the books, so I'm quite proud of that. Yeah, Cody, maybe at some point I'll do a recording of them because I'm really proud of how they're doing. So Scarlett's 6, Rudy's 10, and Jonah is 8. But they're all doing really well, and they can give you, they can decline, they can do first declension puella, they can do second declension servus, they can do forum as well. They've got third declension, they've got canis. They can do a few variations on that. So that's really good. They know about adjectival agreement for the verbs. They've got all four conjugations down. Any of them will be able to conjugate all four regular conjugations in the present indicative active. I've just introduced the imperfect, which again they've got down for all four conjugations. Oh, they can do SE as well. And I'm just starting on the perfect because I've just got to the chapter in Cambridge Latin Course where they just chuck in, just for third person singular, they chuck in some imperfect and some perfect. But they don't, it's quite frustrating because they don't give you all the grammar at once. So as I'm getting to it, I'm giving them all the grammar as well. And it's really impressive, even Scarlett at 6. What is that? How many tables is that? She can do 4 different nouns, 5 different present indicative actives, 4 imperfects. You know, there's quite a lot of rote learning that they've done there. And obviously then we're doing lots of translation, lots of vocabulary testing. They're really learning it. They're working through the Cambridge Latin Course, which I was made to use when I was teaching Year 7 Latin. I don't think they used it in Year 9. I think I used a different book. It wasn't A New Approach, but I think I used a different book when I taught Year 9. It's a long time ago now. It wasn't my primary subject. I just taught it when I was working in an independent school in Croydon because of my background. I was a classicist originally. But and they're really they're indulging me. They enjoy it. I do other things with them, do little bits of history and philosophy, bits of literature. But it's the because the Latin is the one that I do every day, because, you know, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it properly. So at some point, Cody, maybe I'll try and do a little bit of a streamed one so people can get stuck in and the kids can help people out. I think they'd enjoy that. So there you go, little homeschool update. Oh, yeah, there's one more thing I meant to say in response to Edwin. You were mentioning Dave the Slave. I did talk about it a bit. Yeah, the stories in the Cambridge Latin Court, it's newer, but it's still, I don't know, it's at least 20 years old, I think, the Cambridge Latin course, if not a bit older. I haven't got the books in front of me, but the stories are... they're excruciating. Rudy, my oldest, raises his eyebrows at the jokes. They're all about drunken slaves, ogling slave girls. Caecilius goes out. He's looking for something. He's looking for another slave. He wants a big, strong male slave. And the Wainalicius gives him wine and then gets a slave girl to sing sweetly to him. And he goes home with her. And... I think Caecilius is happy. Maybe Quintus, his son, is happy. And then we're told Metella isn't happy. I mean, it's atrocious.
Good morning, Dave. Lonely Adventurer here. Not calling in regarding any particular episode, just taking an opportunity this fine Sunday morning here in Virginia to reach out to as many podcasters as I can, just to say I appreciate what you do. I'm glad that you are podcasting. I get a lot out of your show in general. And especially in this time of self-imposed, or in some cases government-imposed isolation, it's nice to hear other voices in the hobby sharing their love for it and still being enthusiastic despite all the stress that we are all under right now. So yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Have a great one.
Yeah, thanks, Lonely Adventurer. And likewise, I certainly appreciate the call-in. I'm sorry I sat on it for a while. Definitely, I'm... Yeah, it's really important for me to still connect with this. Coming on for a year now that I've been doing this anchor podcasting, and certainly during lockdown, it has been an absolute lifeline, really. So I get a lot out of it, and I'm glad that the call-ins are still coming. So I'm really glad that people are still listening and getting something out of it, and certainly. Yeah, the gaming's going on. The Audio Dungeon Discord is lively. And I feel like I've got a really healthy social, even though I'm stuck at home as everybody else is. So, yeah, thanks for the call. I really appreciate that. And I share your feelings.
Hey, Dave. Great unboxing. Thank your kids for doing such a great job. Gives me something to think about. See if I can trick my family into helping sometime. I did have my son help the one. I thought you had one of my games for a minute. Probably 60% or more of my games are still in the cellophane. But really enjoyed it. Look forward to your play report. That's a game I've not played, so I'll be interested to see how it goes. Thank you so much for the content. Enjoyed listening, and I'll talk to you soon.
Jason, thanks so much. I bundled this one in here because it was... to do with something else I did for the kids. Jason's referring to my unboxing of the 80s FASA neat little box game, Struggle for the Throne, where you play a Klingon war leader maneuvering. The game's interesting. It's got two parts. You start off manoeuvring for political influence, and then at some point the game flips. Once one character puts down the Death of the Emperor card, the game flips and becomes all-out war. I was very excited about it. Subsequently played it with Jonah. I don't know if I talked about this already, but it's kind of mixed. So Jonah enjoyed playing it, and I'm not sure if I played it. I remembered it, but I'm not sure. I remembered reading the rules and being excited by them, but I'm not sure if I actually ever convinced anyone to play it when I had it briefly as a kid, because it's unplayable. It's a wonderful game, but the design of the components is awful. So you lay out a hex board, which incidentally it doesn't need to be doesn't need to be laid out in individual hexes. However you lay it out, the only thing that differs are the names, you know, the relations of the different home planets, which actually has no bearing whatsoever on the game. It just influences what colour your pieces are. So the board is made up of these, what is it, 7 hexes, and need not have been. But they're very small and a bit bendy like cards. So you're just constantly knocking them about. You're moving them everywhere. So the hexes won't stay still. And then on top of that, part of the gameplay is to move around stacks of ships or stacks of squadrons. And these are these tiny triangles of card, and you've got to manoeuvre these stacks, and you're constantly knocking your stack over, knocking the hexes, and just making a mess of the game table the whole time. So that, as I say, Jana really enjoyed it. I think the game is robust in terms of the game, but the components are just duff. So I meant to. That hasn't seen much play. We've got a lot more play out of Dungeon. We got the Dungeon board game, which is just because, you know, Scarlet can play that as well, and it's a pretty random luck based game that you can just play through pretty lightheartedly. And I had meant to, the first thing I meant to do was just draw out a map. The map is very simple, so I don't use those hexes, and then arrive at some way of tracking. I thought what I'd do is just not move the squadrons around as piles. I thought if I could just draw for everybody zones. You've never got more than 7 piles on the go, and even then perhaps not that many. But if I just drew for people 7 numbered zones, then they could keep their triangular pieces inside those zones in front of them, and then just use meeples or flags or something like that as their pieces, each numbered to refer to the zones. But I haven't got around to doing that, just finding some way of making it playable. So, you know, you're just not knocking things over all the time. I actually think that would be better, because then if people had the things laid out in zones in front of them, you'd actually be able to see what was in the stacks, because, of course, you can only ever see the top of a stack, and so you can't really see, even though it's not secret, the gameplay doesn't require or state that it's secret what's in the stacks. So I think this would actually improve on the gameplay, but I just haven't got around to doing that yet. So more detailed review when I've got a couple of plays in. And thanks for the call in, Jason. All right, so I'm going to say thank you very much for the call-ins. Keep them coming in. Really love to get them. Who do we have? We had the Lonely Adventurer from Camping with Owlbears. We had Cody of No Safe for You. We had a couple from each of those. We had Jason of Nerds RPG Variety Cast. We had Edwin, and we had Ivy the Happy Whisk. Keep well, everyone, and I'll catch you all soon.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter @D_percentile.